North Rock Podcast.
How's everybody doing this morning? Good, I hope. Yep. I love the 11 o'clock service. Everybody's wide awake, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Glad to be here, right? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be kind of putting the icing on the cake after we had Hugh here with us last week talking about this journey called Flesh, how to be Jesus in the communities and in the world that we live in. How many of you guys enjoyed that series, and especially Hugh being with us last weekend, huh? What a treat that was. Man, God is so good to us that he gives us favor. I mean, a little North Rock church that a guy like Hugh Halter can come share a message and kind of pour into us a little bit. And so my job today is for us to kind of put an exclamation point, comma, and a couple of those little dots at the end of the sentence to say it's a series that's ended, but it's a behavior and it's a culture of this church that we want to see continued from here on. Can we agree with that this morning? So the series title is Uncommon. Uncommon. So I want you to turn to somebody who's not your spouse today, because I don't want to be starting any marital conflicts in here, okay? Turn to somebody else today and say, you are looking especially uncommon today. And if all you have is your spouse next to you, you got to look somewhere else. Yeah. I love a word like uncommon, because it can mean all kinds of things, right? It can mean all kinds of things. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today, is that the very fact that we call ourselves followers of Jesus in our society makes us uncommon. And so really, everything that we need to do to live a life above the mundane, above the common, is have that relationship with him. That's the good news of the gospel, right? That everything that we need to happen for salvation and good works in our lives is delivered in a relationship with Christ. And we don't have to add anything to it, but as a community of his followers, we're also to be known by some things, right? So I love that Sean chose this pink flamingo as kind of our symbol of the series, right? And so there's a couple of ways we can go about it. We can, one, take on incarnational values in the way that we approach our lives, so that when people run into us, they go, wow, something's different about that person. They seem uncommon. Uncommon, right? Or we can put feathers on everybody, spray paint everybody pink, and that'll probably give us about the same thing, right? Somebody will notice that you're uncommon if you're spray painted pink, right? Well, the truth is, we live in a society that really highlights individualism and what I would consider even a narcissistic kind of selfie image culture, right? And I think part of that is that they've got a desire to stand out from the crowd, that they want to be uncommon. And the good news of the gospel is that we are uncommon in Christ, and that his love in us and through us is meant to be poured out in such a way that it spills out into the conversations and the relationships that we run into in any given day, right? So Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, I never want you to take my word for it. We'll go straight to his words for it. And he says, your love for one another as his community, as his church, as his disciples will prove that you, or prove to the world that you are my disciples. So in other words, this community, the reason that we're gathered here isn't just so we can sing cool songs. It isn't just so that we can edify and get built up in our own personal faith. It's that we would be a representative of his love for the world, and that the world would see that disciples of Christ love people in ways that are different than everyday normal people that they run into, right? How many of you guys would agree with me that church has a different feel than going to the supermarket, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about why that is. It feels a little bit different than just kind of hanging out at the rodeo or hanging out at the movies, right? And part of that is because the Bible teaches that Christ inhabits the praises of his people, right? He's been poured out into our lives through the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're going to be talking about in this series, is what does it really mean to be a craveable community? How is it that we can lean into this experience of being a called and chosen people in a way that shows love for one another so much so that people outside go, what is up with that? Because I know if you're anything like me, when I'm trying to do this on my own, Lord, okay, I'm going to go, you know, share my faith with somebody, I'm going to love on somebody, I'm going to do that. That's important. We need to do that. We can't just count on the gathered church to get it done, right? The whole idea of our gathering is that we'd encourage, we'd edify, we'd build each other up in our faith, so that when we go out, we can't do anything else but just share and love Jesus, right? But it's also, I understand, a taxing thought to think, wow, I'm the love letter that Jesus has for the people in my life. I can't wait on evangelist so-and-so or pastor so-and-so or that particular person or this particular person to win the hearts of the people that we care about and that we have relationship, right, with. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 sets up kind of an idea that I have about the way that we are to cooperate with the life of Christ in us and through us in this world. It's really the idea of thinking about what are the incarnational attributes. What does it look like to be a community that so loves people that it proves to the world that we're Jesus' disciples? It says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us, say let us.
Let us.
All right, still with me. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as the day approaches, right? So again, there's a mission and a message in the community of Christ followers. And the thing that I want to focus on today is simply that one, what they describe in Hebrews 10 is a common experience of what community life looks like, right? You heard some of that. Do we encourage one another? We stir up love and good works, that we challenge and we exhort one another to live deep discipleship lives in the midst of our society, right? But the word that we're going to talk about today is that word exhorting, okay? How many of you guys use the word exhort very often, right? Yeah, just our Bible scholars in the place, right? I exhort thee towards this or that or the other, right? I'm sorry, did I just go into a time warp into, you know, King James English? I think that happens sometimes with our lyrics, right? But really, the idea of exhortation is to call us into deep discipleship lives. Exhortation is saying, because Christ lives in you, you're uncommon. And if we don't get anything else today, it's that Jesus lives in his followers. And that makes you uncommon in this world. Don't ever let the world beat you down to the point that you forget that you carry something special. You carry the very nature of Christ in your life. And so the idea is that as church, we do exactly what I'm doing, just exhorting, encouraging us to live lives that exemplify the goodness, the grace, the mercy, the love, and the uncommon results of what Jesus can do in our lives. Some of us in the church kind of call that discipleship. And discipleship is another one of those words we don't use very often, but it really just means trading in my unbelief for belief in what Jesus said. Trading in truth of what he said for my untruth. Trading in, actually doing the things that Jesus did rather than the things that I want to do with my life. Does that make sense to you guys? I think that's an easy way to think about it. And for me, discipleship isn't a moment in time, but rather it's a process of God developing his maturity in us. How many of you guys are thankful for that truth today, right? That we don't have to have it all figured out all the time and doing everything right all the time. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. But I do believe that discipleship is much like when any of us in the summer, because it's getting summertime, it's beautiful out there. I'm starting to dream about the pools again, right? And some beach somewhere, someplace with deep waters, right? God, we got some island folks in the house today. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. But discipleship's a lot like the way we enter the water, whether it's swimming pool or the ocean. You know, a lot of times we want to test the waters a little bit. And the church is kind of set up that way, that we can get some experiences. We can get these bite-sized experiences of Jesus without actually having to kind of join the club, for lack of a better term, or sign the membership covenant, or really say, yeah, this is what my life's going to be about. We have a chance to come experience a service, to hear a pastor, to be met by some people that are Christ followers. But the idea is that we would move from that kind of testing the tepidness of the water, right? Ooh, that's a little bit cold. That we would actually step into those waters. And we'd move a little further in our walk with Christ. We'd continue to trust him as he calls us out into deep discipleship in our lives. And ultimately, the goal of the church, which makes it a unique organization, is to teach people to love and obey the laws and the leadership of Christ in their lives, fully submerged in this world. Right? That's what this church is here for. And you know, we do give snacks sometimes, and we have worship, and we have a lot of good things that go on. But everything that we do in this church is designed to help lead us into that next step in our commitment to Christ. So it's to attract people to the love of Jesus, to see them meet him, right? And then for them to connect in life and in the habits of life that he offers us. And then it's to train them to go out and fulfill all of the work and all of the goodness that he entrusts for us to do. We're going to talk about that today. That he's given us the ministry of reconciliation in this world. It's a great opportunity for us. And finally, that we would send people, great people like these two sitting over here. Great people to continue to fulfill Christ's commission in this world, right? How many of you guys want to be deep disciples? How many of you guys want to be people who say, Jesus, you just point the way and I'm there. I'm going to do this thing, okay? That's what we're talking about today. How do we as a church lean into a discipleship community, which is what the church is designed to do? And how is it that we can exhort one another? Or I like to use, different language. I wouldn't say it's better than exhortations. That's a really cool word. But how can we have craveable conversations? How is it that we can learn to speak in such a way that it causes people's ears to perk up? For them to go, ooh, wow. That person didn't just want to stop the conversation at sports, weather, news, bye. Right? How many of you guys like me would admit, you don't have to raise your hands, but you can just give me the nod. I'll know who you are. How many of you guys like me would admit, be so bold to admit that I don't really do small talk very good. Some of you guys might have picked up on that from me. I just don't know where to go with it. It just seems so, superficial or surface level. It's just like, but I also understand that the context of Sunday morning is that we can't have deep, long-lasting conversations where we can really get into what are your dreams and what's God doing in your life and how can we pray for you and how can we connect? So the idea is that we're a part of a community of faith so that we can do some of these great things like Via Love International, that we get to do that, that we don't get to go on the trip to Honduras. Sean gets to go on it. I got to stay back here, but we do that together. But more importantly, we find places within the community of faith where people know us, where people can exhort us, people that we trust. How many of you guys have ever tried to correct somebody that's a stranger to you? Right? It's like poking a dog in the nose, right? Whoa, hey, I'm just trying to help you. I mean, it's your life. I'm just trying to help, right? We're not designed to do that. We're designed to live in deep context of relationship. And from those places, we invite correction. We invite redirection. And my prayer is that everyone that calls North Rock home finds a place to belong, to become, and to believe in the promises God has for their lives. I can tell you, I have them in my life. I have people that get right up in my grill. Sometimes I wish I didn't have them, be completely honest with you, but I have them. Right? Challenge me on all kinds of things in my life. And they're also the people that I do life with, that I get to celebrate the highs and the lows and the in-betweens. That's my prayer for our congregation, is that we learn to connect with one another in such a way that the world looks at us and goes, man, look at the love that they have for each other. They love being together. We went and saw our, we've got a bowling league going on after church on Sundays, and you want to talk about a rowdy, fun crowd. Holy cow, those people love each other deeply. And I'm like, all right, this is awesome. It's like we're having church in the bowling alleys, man. This is awesome. But there's lots of ways for us to connect and relate and call each other into deeper waters. That's the whole idea. Because we don't all get it all at the same time in this journey called discipleship, right? Some of us in this room today have no problem trusting Jesus with their eternal salvation. They believe that he died on the cross, that he rose from the grave, and that he sent his Holy Spirit, right, to live in us. And that when we die on this earth, that we're going to be with him for eternity, right? Amen. Yeah, we got some church folk in the house, right? But how many of you guys know that discipleship behaviors are far more than a theology? It's far more. It's how do we take the incarnation of who God is and find a way to push it down into this flesh and live it and breathe it and talk about it in our day-to-day lives in such a way that other people take notice? And it's not that weird kind of, you know, church salesman type of thing, right, that we run into those sometimes, that they just come up and like, hi, I'm Joe. Let me lead you to Christ right now. And it's like, oh, hey, number one, I'm a pastor. I've kind of done this once. Two, I don't really know you. And so how about we just start with a normal conversation, right? It can get a little sideways sometimes, even with the best motives, right? But the whole idea is that we unpack what Christ says life is about and how to do life in the way that he did life in a way that makes sense to others. Because some of us here have great faith for the salvation piece, but we might struggle in believing that God really wants to do something in a family member of ours. That's a discipleship issue, right? Some of us, it may be that we align our romantic relationships in a way that God says that that's to be done, right? For some of us, it might be the way that we steward our resources, right? That can be a discipleship challenge in our lives. And if that's the case, that's where you find yourself today. My hope is that North Rock always feels like a place where we can work through those issues, where we can take next steps in our discipleship journey with him, knowing that his heart is to love us, to bless us, to guide us, to heal us, and to protect us always. That's safe. It's the beauty of this church. I'm going to share a little bit of my story of how I came to Christ in this very church over 20 years ago next week. But I can tell you, this is a safe place to work through the discipleship challenges in our lives. Paul says that if we struggle with some of these discipleship actions, that it's not uncommon. Okay, he says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, he says, my dear children, I feel as though I'm going through labor pains for you again. It says, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. Isn't that a cool way to describe discipleship? Until Christ is fully developed in our lives. That's what we live here for. That's what living uncommon lives in this world is all about. It's embracing and leaning into craveable community, and it's a way that we participate in the life of Jesus, both as individuals and as a collective group. How many of you guys know signing on to carry the message of the cross, signing on to be a part of the church isn't seen as the cool in crowd right now, right? It's not. It's just simply not. But it may never have been. The idea is that we bear the cross, we bear the love of Christ in such a way that people don't come because it's the cool, hip thing to do, or because we've got this, or we've got that, or we've got this. It's because they find Christ alive in what we call our sojourners, the people that are doing life on purpose in a way as to intersect and bring life to others in our lives. How many guys enjoy going to Costco? Yeah, they're like, yeah, look at that. See, look at that. We've got all kinds of opinions. Costco comes up, everybody perks up. Costco. Yeah, it is getting close to lunchtime. Yeah. Yeah. What's Costco known for? Sample day, right? What day is that again?
Saturday.
Oh, Saturdays. All right. So there you go. I'll see you guys all at Costco. That just totally blows up my theory, because with the rising cost of groceries for a family of four, I've considered the idea that maybe if I got a Costco membership, I could feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner off the sample plate. But if it's only once a week, we're going to go pretty hungry, aren't we? You know, in a lot of ways, the church in North America, the church experience of just the Sunday celebration service is designed to kind of bring taste test to people. That it's a chance for them to engage with Christ, it's a chance for them to engage with his followers, it's a chance for them to get just a little taste test. But how many of you guys know that the reason they do sample size marketing at Costco is because they know it'll lead you closer to them. You'll start showing up on Saturdays. And if you're in their building, guess what's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to buy something, right? Eventually, you're going to say, I'm going to sign the membership. I'm going to be a part of this community. I'm going to do this thing. Can I just say that really discipleship community, leaning into craveable community, that's what the church is all about too, is that we pattern together enough good experiences that help people connect with Christ, help answer the questions in their own heads, help them come to a place of decision, and then we do life together on mission for Christ. That's what we're about, okay? So the church is a great place for us to begin to work through this thing called exhortation because of two things. One, he gave us his Holy Spirit to kind of keep us from rubbing up on each other too much. Does that make sense? That we don't grind on each other too much because he's given us his Holy Spirit, right? Bible says that we're to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, right? It says that iron will sharpen iron as our lives come into contact with each other because we get to know each other, we get to loving each other in such a way that we see things that may not be altogether in alignment with the way that Christ has given his life to us, right? That's the opportunity that we have. And Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says that Peter replied to the crowd. He said, "Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." We're all pretty familiar with that part, right? Then he goes on to say, "Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That he gives us his Holy Spirit. This promises to you, to your children, to those who are far away, and all who have been called by the Lord our God. So who is it that has the Holy Spirit? Those that have done the above things we've talked about, right? He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us lean into community life. And the second thing he's given us is a community, a family, a church, a place where we are to experience koinonia. Everybody turn to somebody and say koinonia. Okay, it's all Greek to me, right? Koinonia is just fellowship. Koinonia is that kind of connection point that we can make with one another, right? It's the being connecting. It's the love of the Lord in our relationships here. And I can tell you this, that I am a recovering introvert, okay? Amen. How God got me up on this stage is a miracle to me, all right? But I look and I look and I look and I look in the scriptures for an opportunity to say, oh, I can opt out of that. I can opt out of being part of the church. I can opt out of doing those things, and I can still be a disciple of Christ. You just can't find them, right? And yet in today's kind of culture, I have a lot of conversations with people who say, man, I love Jesus. It's the rest of y'all I don't get, right? Or, yeah, I love this whole idea of God loving me, but this organized religion is just all wrong, right? That kind of thing. And it kind of makes me think of, you know, Jesus said that his church is his bride. And I try to think of it, how can I develop relationship with people if they come up and they talk to me and they say, hey, Chad, we love hanging out with you. We want you to come over. We want to watch a game and stuff. But would you please mind just leaving Jody behind? You know, she's just not as fun as you are, right? Now, anybody that knows Jody knows that's completely false. They invite her to the parties. They say, leave Chad home. Okay, but you understand the point, right? Is that it's one and the same. It's part and parcel. I think part of why a lot of our society has settled for what I call just a false grace or a cheap grace experience is because they came in, they had a sample taste at a church. They assured themselves that's all that needed to happen in their lives, and they sat down and became part of a warehousing unit. Discipleship is on the move because Christ is on the move, right? How many of you guys would agree with me? Man, I had that prayer. I had that first moment of receiving salvation. It was awesome, and I was so excited. And for weeks, man, I just went for Christ forever and ever and ever. And then guess what? Jesus moved. He called us out a little deeper. He said, okay, now I want you to do this. Okay, now I want you to talk to that person. Okay, now I want you to wrestle with your calling. Okay, now I want you to wrestle with, you know, this relationship or that or this habit or that, right? That the good news of the gospel is that the Holy Spirit continues to draw us into deeper and deeper discipleship. And that's what helps us to grow. If you're here at North Rock, everything that we do is for the purpose of helping us take that next step with Christ. And if today you're saying, you don't understand, Pastor Chad, with the miracle of me sitting in this church building, because it's taken me years to get to this place where I would trust the church and come back and do this thing that we're doing here. And if that's you, that's a great step. And we celebrate that, and we think that is awesome. Now, the other side of the aisle, those of you that have been here for 57 years, right? Jesus is calling us deeper. He's calling us to invest our lives in such a way that makes a difference, not just here, but everywhere that we go. Notes just flying off this place, okay? So again, if you're looking for community here at North Rock, we have bowling leagues. We have all kinds of great ways to connect. Pay attention to that video we show every week because it's a place to connect and relate and get to know some folks. Promise you, most of them are pretty safe, okay? How's that? Honesty from the pulpit. You like that? But the truth of the matter is, you know, none of us are 100% foolproof safe, right? It's part of what I'm going to talk about next week is I've wounded people in this church unintentionally. I've been wounded in this church. But I can also tell you this is my home. This is where Christ grew me up in the faith. This is where I came to know what it meant to be a disciple and how to live that out in a way that makes a difference in the world. Okay? There's no risk, no reward in the kingdom work, right? But that's what he's called us to do, and that's what he wants us to be about. So he's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us a family. The Bible says he's placed us in that. It's not just we woke up one day and drove down the street and said, I'm going to stop in that place. It's that Christ is so relentlessly pursuing us that he calls us and makes us a part of a community. By the way, if you really enjoyed that flesh journey, again, let's hear how many people that is. That's about half of y'all. Let's hear it one more time. Oh, yeah. Almost there. Oh, yeah. Okay. We're going to be launching what we call some TK primer groups, which are an 8-week experience to kind of help us figure out how do we move from individual excitement about living incarnational, missional lives to a community of people that do that. So TK just simply stands for Tangible Kingdom. It's the principles that we try to model. It's the principles that we're talking about in this message today. Pastor Andrew is going to be talking to you about how to get started in one of those after Easter. But if you're here today and you'd say, I love that book, I'm a part of this congregation, I'd love to host one of those, or I'd like to talk about the possibility of maybe doing that, you can email him at andrew@northrockchurch.com. Okay? If you forget everything that I said, andrew@northrockchurch.com. Or you can go to our website, northrockchurch.com, and get connected there too, okay? But I wanted to end today by looking at one example of something from the scripture that was really people living as disciples on a mission in a craveable community. To show that, again, this isn't just some great idea that I had overnight, right? But this is what the Bible says is to be a natural occurrence and experience for those that are Christ followers. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Luke chapter 24, verses 13. And we're going to go all the way through 35. So for some of y'all, it might be a step. We're going to read almost an entire chapter here, all right? That's what we're doing. We're making disciples, right? We've got to get in the Word together. Okay, so I need you to take a big exhale or big inhale first. Don't exhale first. You'll pass out. Big inhale, big exhale. All right, and let's focus on this little story here. And it's a story of some disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus shows up in the middle of them and has this, what I call, again, a craveable conversation, or exhorts them in their ability to follow him, okay? So it says that the same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Anybody identify with that piece there? Or we think we're just kind of walking along the road and all of a sudden Jesus gets all up in our business. He starts talking to us about, you know, doing this or doing that or changing this or changing that, right? That's kind of the picture that we're seeing here. And it says that in verse 17, it says that he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? It says that they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And then one of them, Cleopas, replied and he said, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened and that have happened in these last few days. What things? Jesus asked. So the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. They said, he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and the other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death. And they crucified him. And it says that we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Verse 22 says, then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning. And they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and that they had seen angels who had told them that Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone just as the women had said. Verse 25 says, "And then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all of these things before entering the glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You guys see some discipleship conversations happening there. See some exhortation from Jesus happening there. It says, verse 28, "By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him to stay. They said, 'Stay the night with us since it's getting late.' So we went home with them." So he went home with them, excuse me. "As they sat down to eat," sometimes I think that's the only thing the church keeps in this scripture, right? Is that we sit down and eat together. And that equates to discipleship somehow, right? He says that they sat down to eat. He took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Then, or they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen, and he has appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. Okay, so I know that's a lot of text, but can you guys get the picture of what's going on? We got disciples with all kinds of different kind of levels of engagement of the story of what God had done and how he had enacted in their life. And you see in the different settings, Jesus exhorting them, them sharing their story, them eating together, them showing love for even a stranger who comes along the way and says, "No, don't go off on your own. Stay with us and eat," right? And it's at that moment they realize that Jesus was there to do something profound in their lives. How many of you guys want Jesus to show up on your roads? Yeah. Right? More and more and more and more and more. That's the idea, right? We come here to get a word from the Lord that will sustain us, that will give us the food that we need to get through each and every one of our days. So if for no other reason you're here with us today, I want to share with you just a couple of what I call transformational takeaways. Or what I would consider principles of transformational conversations, craveable conversations, uncommon conversations, robust dialogue, right? Man, I love having robust dialogue with people. That's fun. Yeah, I love that. Talking about sports and weather, it's like, no thanks. No thanks, right? So principles of transformational conversations. Number one, what we see in that text is that we have to step up courageously, right? That it takes us being willing to be vulnerable, to meet with somebody, to connect with them, to push through the awkwardness of those surface conversations. Hi. Weather's nice, right? And then what? And then what? And one of the challenges of church life is that we try to cram everything that needs to happen as disciples into 1 hour service, right? And so we have a lot of these little surface level conversations on Sundays, but the whole idea of those are they're just a taste test. They're a way for us to connect and relate so that we take another step into the waters that Christ has for us. We have to show vulnerability. We have to be willing to be the pink flamingo in our workplaces, in our families, in our communities, right? We've got to be willing to say, "Well, they're not going to do it if I don't do it. So here we go. I'm going to step in. Hi, I'm going to introduce myself," okay? Step up courageously. That's what we see Jesus did in that story. Second thing we need to do is we need to ask up powerfully. Right? Did you guys notice the way Jesus used some open-ended direct questions in the midst of that dialogue to help draw them out? Say, "Who is this guy, you guys? Why are you guys so upset? What are you guys doing there?" Right? He asked up powerfully. And just that very fact of showing interest in somebody's life can make a difference. I mean, I've said it's as simple sometimes as being the guy that smiles instead of frowns at people when you're walking through the crowd, right? Sometimes they think you're a little extra uncommon because they don't see that very often because you're acting in an uncommon way, right? But if we'll ask up powerfully, showing interest, or what I consider being a friend, we're going to talk about the types of friends that this world needs next week as part of my story. Okay, but if we'll ask up powerfully, that'll lead us to an opportunity to cross that threshold. We'll get deeper into that relationship, into that conversation, and we'll be able to do what I call listening up discerningly. Right? You guys remember we talked about that Jesus said that I've given you the Holy Spirit, right? And the heart of that is that we can discern what God's saying in conversations. That's the only hope guys like me that don't do the small talk very well have, is I'm listening for, God, what are you saying in this? Why am I here having this conversation? What is it that's happening? And so, you know, have anybody ever heard of three levels of listening before? Yeah, I'm sure there's a handful. Good. So you can correct me if I'm wrong. I see you back there. One, the first level of listening is usually about what is this person saying to me and what does it mean to me, right? How do I get myself out of this conversation, right? What are they saying? Okay, you've communicated. Let's move on with our lives, okay? That's kind of that first level of listening. To be completely honest with you, my wife would attest that I probably listen at that level far too often. Far too distracted. Far too busy sometimes. So, Jody, since you're in the place, please forgive me for not practicing good listening sometimes, most of the time. Okay, but that's the first level. You got to be willing to do that in order to get to the second level. Second level of listening is what is it that they're saying? What does it mean to them? And what are they trying to communicate? What's the emotion in this? Why is this a big deal to them? I mean, it's just lunch, right? Or it's just this, or it's just that. And then to me, the third level, which is where people that are uncommon followers of Christ need to spend more time and attention in this world, is what is God saying in this conversation? Where's a word of knowledge maybe that'll help just encourage them? Where's a word of encouragement or exhortation or a way to just affirm them in a way that they don't get every day? Or, you know, where's a word of prophecy that God might give me for them? You guys know prophecy isn't some big scary voice that comes over in the middle of a service, right? Prophecy is speaking the word of God as if it's true in people's lives. It's taking that word of knowledge, the word of what the Bible says, and unpacking it in a way that people can grab a hold of it, okay? So principles of transformational conversations are uncommon conversations, so we'll step up courageously. We'll ask up powerfully. We'll listen up discerningly. And then final one, well, two of these are kind of connected, open up authentically. Right, that's where we kind of come out from behind ourselves. And we say, hey, this is kind of where I'm at. And I can tell you, the church doesn't get this right all the time. I can just tell you, we don't. Okay, sometimes we get way too authentic, way too early in a conversation or relationship, right? You guys ever run into people like that? It's like, hi, good morning, how are you? Right? And that's not to make light of some of the hard things that we carry into this place. I know there's hard stuff in this world. But I also know that it doesn't work well to carry on a conversation if the first thing that you do is spew on somebody. Right? But I also know that the church is known for not being authentic enough at times, where the people on the stages never show any of their scars. Never talk about the struggles that they have or the challenges that they have. And so we just all sit out here and assume that they've got it all together, that, you know, they are the Ned Flanders family, by golly, right? We don't want to be that either. Our goal as a congregation is to live in perfect balance between truth and love. Be known for our love. Stir up love and good works. But also be genuine enough to the experience that we're having in Christ that we'll be honest with each other when we see something that doesn't line up with who God says we are, amen? That's what I want to do. That's what I want us to be about. That's what I want us to do, okay? So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we close, and I want us to just kind of think through this question as we worship and as we ask the Lord to speak in to maybe a step that he's asking us to take as his disciples. Maybe it's just one more relationship. Maybe it's get signed up for that baptism that's coming up. You guys know we're doing a baptism, right? Got a baptism coming up. Celebrating the decisions that people are making to move from what Hugh Halter calls a first time or a first decision Christian, which is all about what does this mean to me, right? And what are the benefits of this association with Christ, into what he calls a second decision Christian life. And that's kind of where we're full in, submerged in a discipleship culture. That it really is Jesus leading us through our life. That it really is Jesus who is encouraging us and guiding us and leading us and encouraging people that are all around us as part of that. Maybe your next step is to actually go through our North Rock Next Steps. You've been here, you've tasted the place, you've taste tested enough that you say, all right, I want to know a little bit more about them. We're offering those. You can get some information at the connection corner, okay? But maybe it's just simply that. You just need to rest in the Lord's presence, knowing that He's made you uncommon today. That because He lives in you, there's life that you don't know about yet. And the discipleship joy, the journey of Him entrusting what He calls, the ministry of reconciliation with others, is that He's done everything we need Him to do. It's simply us practicing the behaviors and walking out the life that He entrusts to us. So would you take some time this morning? And would you just do a little bit of heart business with the Lord as we sing this last song? And then I'm going to come up and close us in prayer and we'll dismiss, okay? Well, you know, as I thought about this message and kind of closing out, I was reminded of a prayer that we used to pray really frequently around here at the church. And so I wanted to just encourage us to pray along with this if you can. Because to me, it expresses exactly what we've been talking about today. What does it mean to be a fully devoted follower of Christ in this place? And so today, if today is your day that you're saying, I want to follow Christ. I want to exchange my life and my rights for running the show in my life for the life that He offers me because of the sacrifice He did and the gift that He has for me. If that's you here today, we would love to pray with you after the service. We'd love to just take some time and talk to you about some next steps that you can take in that journey. But we're going to give you a chance to pray that with the whole corporate body here today. With a prayer that it's probably up behind me right now you guys have been looking at for the last 2 minutes while I've been talking and flapping my jaws, right? And maybe today is the day you say, Pastor Chad, I've been kind of in that first conversion, first decision Christian moment in my life. And I'm sensing that the Lord is calling me into something deeper. Can I promise you that that's the Holy Spirit in you? That's the Holy Spirit drawing us into living uncommon lives. So let's go ahead and pray this prayer and then we'll dismiss. Lord Jesus, I invite You into my life. I believe that You died on the cross for my sin and that You rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to You the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the Scriptures, living in fellowship with God's people, and following You in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Is that a good creed to live your life by? It is. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you for being here. Have a great weekend and a great week. Again, as always, we have people available to pray with you if there's any need in your life that you'd like prayer for. Okay? God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.